Good morning. It's just gone 1 minute past the hour of 9 o'clock, Tuesday morning, the 13th day of October 2020. And welcome to the Urban Parliament. We hope you enjoy this interesting hour plus with us. Today on the Parliament, we're continuing the conversation we had yesterday on the politics of the hashtag End SARS protest. And if you recall, this protest has been ongoing in some states across the country. But on the show today, we're going to tweak the conversation to actually understand the legality and the constitutionality of a protest in Nigeria. We'll also get to look at the implications of the dissolution of the Federal Special Anti-Robbery Squad, otherwise known as the FSARS. We'll also get to look into police reformations. What are the things that you would want to see happen differently in the police force? What are the things that you would love to see as the police are overhauling the system? What are the concrete steps you want to be taken? Remember, you can also join the conversation on social media. Tweet at us this morning using the hashtag Urban Parliament. Tweet at us, let us know what you think about the reformation of the Nigerian police force, what it means to you, what you want exactly to be done. All right, if we can recall, on Sunday, October 11th, the federal government finally dissolved the Federal Special Anti-Robbery Squad, SARS, across the 36 states' commands and, of course, the Federal Capital Territory with immediate effect. And from the statements of the IGP of Police, Muhammad Adamu, he recommended that all officers and men serving in the unit will be redeployed to other police commands, to other formations and other units. He also spoke of a new policing arrangement for tackling the offenses of armed robbery, and other violent crimes will be unveiled to the public soon. He also spoke on a Citizens and Strategic Stakeholders Forum, which will be launched to provide an avenue for citizens to regularly interface and also advise the police authority on issues touching on the general public. And lastly, he spoke on dealing with the report of crimes committed against citizens, and an investigative team will be constituted, which will include civil society organizations and culprits will as well be punished. So this morning, in regards to the ongoing protest, of which Enugu is not an exception, as we speak now, there is a protest going on in the state across different venues. We want to look at the legality. Is it really right as a Nigerian citizen to actually carry out protests? The reason being the negative body language that we are receiving from the federal government and, of course, the members of the police force. And doing justice to this conversation this morning is Barrister Sidi Owe. He's an Enugu-based legal practitioner and chairman of the APA party. Good morning, Barrister Owe.
Good morning, Adozie.
You're welcome. All right, first off, let me get your thoughts on the hashtag End SARS protest that is ongoing across the country. What are your thoughts on the protest?
Definitely, the protest is a welcome development. Welcome development in the sense that it shows that a vast majority of Nigerians are becoming disenchanted with the manner in which we are being treated in this country. The protest is a welcome development considering the fact that it seems that those who are saddled with the responsibility of calling some of our police officers to order, they have not been up and doing. It is a welcome development in the sense that according to the late legend, Fela Kuti, that most Nigerians are fond of suffering and smiling. So this time it seems that many Nigerians decided to let the world know that they are not suffering and smiling. As a matter of fact, I will not sit here this morning and condemn the former officers and men of the special unit being a federal anti-robbery squad in its entirety. But I can bet you that most of them, going by the antecedents, a vast majority of them, it seems that they've been found wanting in the manner in which they carried out the activities. In the sense that, as a matter of fact, this outfit was established for the purpose of addressing violent crimes, especially the crime of armed robbery.
Yeah.
But along the line, they derailed, just like what obtains in the activities of law enforcement outfits. Just like during the Bakassi era, Bakassi boys era, initially many people applauded them for doing very well. Then along the line, they now veered off, they now channeled their energy towards addressing some other activities which they weren't expected to address, so to speak. So likewise, the federal SARS, the recently banned outfit of the Nigerian police.
Yeah.
They carried out a series of gross violation of the fundamental rights of Nigerian citizens, because we operate a constitution. No matter how defective that constitution may be, we have a constitution in vogue, and that constitution envisages that if you reasonably suspect that someone committed the offense of robbery, of armed robbery rather, because these are two different offenses, robbery and armed robbery, the offense of armed robbery, and you have reasonable belief to establish that the person actually committed that offense, we have our courts. It is expected of you to arrange to investigate after investigating, in case of a scenario whereby the armed robbery suspect wasn't caught red-handed in the act, you arraign the person in court, and it is when the court of law, a court of competent jurisdiction, must have found the person guilty that appropriate punishment will be carried out. That we found ourselves in a situation whereby most SARS officials, they became the prosecutors, the investigators, and judges in their own case. And we've had series of instances whereby Nigerians were manhandled, brutalized, and humiliated in their own land. And the government of the day, the government of this land, both at the federal and at the various state tiers of government, they swore to an oath. They promised to defend the Constitution of the Federal Republic of Nigeria, and part of their basic responsibility, that of protecting the lives and property of the Nigerian citizens. But it seems from the actions and inactions of the powers that be, both at the federal level and at the state level, many of them weren't concerned about the predicament of most Nigerians vis-à-vis the activities of SARS.
Okay.
So this is a welcome development.
So in that regard, would you say the protest is actually justifiable? Because some other people believe that they're supposed to be protesting for other things. They feel that the SARS protest is not what should be on the front burner. We're supposed to be protesting about end to bad governance. We're supposed to be protesting on bad roads. We're supposed to be protesting on electricity, water supply, education. So this shouldn't be what we are supposed to lay our hands on at the moment.
In fact, in all fairness, there are many things to be protested about in this country. Just like I was here yesterday in the Igbo program, I also mentioned that there's another form of SARS going on in the southeast, which is the EEDC. Because the banned SARS, the mages of gun, then this EEDC of a company, for the past 2 months, or past, the type of bills they've been bringing, I wonder if that's what applies to other part of the country.
Yeah, that's a different conversation.
Yes, I know. That, I'm trying to portray the fact that there are many things to be protested about. But I don't see the current protest going on about SARS. It does not, federal SARS. It does not amount to, maybe the protesters or those who are championing this cause, chasing shadows, they are in for a serious business. The issue of SARS, the nefarious deeds committed by SARS officials, happens to be what deserves the attention of every right-thinking member of the society. In other words, agreed, there are many things to be addressed in the country as it stands at the moment. And now, even if you are talking about maybe banning SARS, which has been done, at least as it stands at the moment, even the police force itself, the police as an establishment, because SARS is just an outfit, or SARS was, because it has been banned, was an outfit of the Nigerian police. So, you know, when we say SARS, this is just a specially designated outfit to checkmate the increase in violent crimes in our society. Now, we also go for and talk about, you know, ending some anomalies going on in the police force, ending bad governance, ending a lack of democratic norms in our system. But at least, we must encourage those who started from somewhere. So those who believe that there are some other things we can campaign about, yeah, we can also start that one. Like I've talked about, there are many things. We can talk about the electoral process. Like in the Enugu State, at the local government, tier of government, we don't experience the election here. So, very soon, those of us in APA will start clamoring for electronic voting at the local government level. All so, right. Those who think that those who are clamoring for the actions and inactions of SARS to be brought to book, or to be appraised, they can also champion other causes. There are many of them. So, this is a welcome development.
All right. What does the Constitution say about protest?
Of course, the Nigerian Constitution, you know, the problem we have in this country is that we have various laws in theory, but the problem has to do with the implementation of those laws. The Nigerian Constitution in Chapter 4, there are myriads of fundamental rights, even when you take a look at the provisions of the African Charter on Human and People's Rights Ratification and Enforcement Act, because it has been domesticated in Nigeria by virtue of the provisions of Section 2 of the Nigerian Constitution.
These two laws, these two basic laws, which confer Nigerian citizens with various fundamental rights, these laws recognizes the right to freedom of association, freedom of expression, and even, you know, among other fundamental rights. Now, the right to protest, once it is done within the ambit of the law, when I mean within the ambit of the law, once you don't resort to riotous behavior, once you don't resort to violence, you have the right to demonstrate. You have the right to express yourself. Even this other policy, whereby some the police will tell you that you have to obtain permission before you protest. The court of law has also ruled on this issue. In the case of, I think, ANPP, or Nigerian People's Party, against Inspector General of Police, I think Femi Falana, SAN, handled that matter. It was held by the Court of Appeal that the some provisions of the Public Officer, Public Order Act, or whatever. But there's a particular law there which the police normally relies on, to the effect that before you embark on protest, that you must seek the consent of the police. The law, the court struck down the offending provisions of that particular law. In other words, if you want to protest within the ambit of the law allows you to do that. Even though I should also point out that this gentleman, that law is not absolute. Not absolute in the sense that the same constitution also envisages that in period of emergency, state of emergency, when there is a formal declaration of emergency, some of these rights can be suspended, and that's one of them, like the right to freedom of association and expression. That's one of the rights that can be suspended during a period of emergency.
But okay,
ordinarily, the right to protest, the right for one to air one's, in fact, that's one of the bedrocks of democracy. The right inherent in every human being to express himself, to say that, look, I like what you are doing, or I don't like what you are doing. It's a fundamental right.
Now, if it's a fundamental right, if it's legal and constitutional to carry out protests in Nigeria, does it mean that the federal government is acting outside the constitution by going after peaceful protesters?
Definitely. Definitely. You know, let's be realistic. And in being realistic, I have to explain something. That's why I say, if you're embarking on a peaceful protest, it is totally wrong for any government to prohibit people from embarking on peaceful protest. However, if the protest turns violent, it also becomes the responsibility of the government to ensure that, you know, normalcy is returned, that people are not allowed to embark on criminal behaviors under the guise of embarking on protest. For instance, there are some scenarios whereby you find people, and that's why I say some governments that may want to be mischievous may even sponsor some miscreants, you know, to infiltrate the camps of those that are embarking on peaceful protest in order to now have a leeway within which they now turn around to say that such persons embarked on acts that will tend to amount to riot in law. But ordinarily, the government of the day, going by the provisions of this law, the basic law of the land, does not have the powers to stop people from embarking on peaceful protests. You don't. What you have to do is that whenever people are protesting, you address their grievances. Once they are doing that within the ambit of the law, within the ambit of civility, you address their grievances.
But what implication does it have, seeing that the government is actually going against the constitution? What happens also when the police are actually the ones who are actually causing the violence?
Definitely. It still boils down to the climate going on at the moment. Because one of my late lecturers, Professor G.O.S. Amadio, the blessed memory, I think there's a topic he taught us in school in those days. Say, who will please the police? Because maybe if you want to carry out, even the executive, if they want to carry out any positive line of action, you fall back to the police. You get the consent, you see the service of the police.
Yeah.
Now, when the police starts misbehaving, when the police starts embarking on an illegal line of action, whose duty will it now be to call them to order? Especially when those at the helm of affairs, the powers that be, whose primary responsibility is to ensure that things are done the right way, are the ones doing that, are the ones prodding them to embark on such line of action. So it becomes a very difficult scenario. However, we should also understand that just like what may soon happen, what we envisage may happen in no distant time, that some of these SARS officials who are fingered in the act of violation of the fundamental rights of citizens, except if the government is not willing to live up to its responsibility, they may be brought to book to account for the nefarious deeds they committed against the people of Nigeria. There are some notorious names in that already disbanded outfit, you know, and there are some notorious SARS outlets, just like the Okuso SARS. People always mention about Okuso SARS, what transfer. So, what am I trying to say? Even as a police officer, Just like some days back, President Buhari gave a directive for the thorough investigation of circumstances surrounding the death of one of the protesters, so that Ishaq Bello, I'm right, in I think
Ogbomosho,
that should be in Oyo State. Ogbomosho should be in Oyo State. So that you're a police officer does not mean you carry out an unlawful duty. If you carry out an unlawful duty, you may be unlucky to a very great extent to be held accountable for your actions and inactions.
Now, since the pronouncement by the IGP of police and, of course, the address by the president, it seems it hasn't gotten down well with a lot of people. It hasn't gone down well with a lot of people. The IGP on Sunday gave an order on the disbandment of the unit, which did not, which felt a little controversial. He made a couple of statements, such as recommendations of redeploying all the officers and men of that unit to other police commands and other formations and other units. And this resulted in continuous protests, because a couple of people expected that after the disbandment, definitely there's going to be a stop. But because of the insatiable interest of the masses, they feel that their interest hasn't really been put out there. More protests kept rocking the French streets, even here in Enugu State. And some people are of the opinion that, no, we need to go out there so that we can actually speak of a reformation. Some others are saying, okay, seeing that the tempers are actually at the highest point on all sides at this time, with the number of deaths that we have recorded, with the people that have been injured, will it be wisdom or will it be cowardice to actually back down and wait until the promises of the federal government are met? What are your thoughts on these two conflicting issues?
There are two basic issues from the point of view of the protesters and a vast majority of Nigerians, because I believe that most rational thinking members of Nigerian society, I'm sorry to use that word. When I mean so, because it might be as if I'm against those who don't buy into that idea, but you know, surprisingly, and that's the beauty of democracy, there are those who have the view that the protest shouldn't go on. And I know some of those fellows, and these are people who are somehow protected in the society. There are those who think that maybe they will not be affected one day. But I bet those who are against this protest, solely on the ground that they believe that such people are wonderful people, that one day you may be unlucky or you may be unfortunate to fall victim. Because, I've come across some highly placed individuals who... you are also unfortunate to be manhandled on several occasions when they least expected that to happen to them. Let's digress. The point is this. There are two issues. One, the issue of reformation, which may be a long-term project in quote, being desired by the protesters. But there is a short-term project that should be looked into. The Inspector General of Police, I think with due respect, is trying to offend the sensibilities of the Nigerian people by just disbanding federal SARS and then deploying the men to join other units or other formations of the Nigerian police. Men who, it has been alleged, wasted the lives of innocent Nigerians. It's just akin to what normally obtains in police circles. If a policeman violates your rights, and maybe those in charge of the particular command or that the police officer carries out his or her duty, maybe they want to placate you, they will transfer him to a rural community, or maybe they transfer him to a less lucrative area, lucrative in quotes. Now, you've not addressed some vital issues. There are allegations that some people were killed by these men.
Yeah.
There are allegations of high-handedness carried out by these men, the cost of carrying out their duties. And you've not deemed it fit to fish out these men, to embark on concrete line of action that will assuage the feelings of Nigerians. There are allegations that most of these men are murderous individuals, and you just left them that way. You only disbanded the outfit and then redeployed them. That means they will just put on another garb tomorrow. They can just put on Yele's mobile police uniform, ordinary police uniform, and then also come out and continue from where they stopped. It goes beyond that. Just like those who are accused of carrying out war crimes, I believe the demand of every rational thinking member of the Nigerian society is that these men, especially the principal actors who carried out these nefarious deeds, who carried out these illegal and unjust acts against Nigerian people, they should be fished out and a special panel set up, and they should be tried. They should be arraigned in court, and those found culpable should be made to face the music. Once that is done, I believe any other outfit that be established, to a great extent, they'll be careful while carrying out their duty. But you've just said that if these dancers and now that the men have been redeployed to join other outfits, that means nothing much has been achieved, so to speak.
So do you think that the total dissolution of this particular unit would actually change anything at all? Do you think something will come out of it?
Anyway, the truth is that so far, what has been done so far, I think a little progress has been recorded in the sense that at least that formation itself has been disbanded. And I have to make something clear at this juncture. Agreed. The SARS official, they may have recorded progress here and there in checkmating violent crimes in society. But from the statistics, their wrongdoings obviously seem to have outweighed any positive result they may have achieved. And most importantly, SARS or no SARS, we still have the Nigerian police. Nigerian police force. I don't know the current name, whether going by this new police act, I don't know if they still use Nigerian police force. But the Nigerian police was Nigerian police. We still had Nigerian police.
You're saying the Nigerian police can as well carry out the duties of the SARS operation?
Of course, before SARS came in, before SARS came into force, the Nigerian police has, before SARS, we had the Operation Fire for Fire. Before SARS, we had the ones they call Ndepan when I was a teenager. Ndepan. So maybe tomorrow, of course, the IG has told us that they may soon establish another outfit. So SARS or no SARS, it is the basic responsibility of the police to protect lives and order. They have their arms. We also see policemen carrying, bearing arms. They carry arms. And I also have to state something at this juncture, lest I forget. Some people are now of the view that because SARS has been banned, that we may experience an increase in violent crimes.
You don't think so?
Even if that happens, if we experience increase in violent crimes in recent time, SARS and the police should be the primary suspect. That's the logical conclusion. Reason? They will not, because there is a popular case reported in the law report, the state versus Njovena, if I'm right, Njovena. In that case, a police officer, it was found out that a police officer was behind many robbery, armed robbery incidents that occurred in that particular state. We've also going by, you know, recent developments, we've also seen that some policemen, even some military men, maybe those that left the force, they do take part in armed robbery. Not all of them, but some of them do take part in that. So what I'm trying to say is that policemen cannot be totally absorbed from violent crimes. Now, because SARS has been banned, from experience, from what I have read in cases, there is a great likelihood that they may want to now start sponsoring armed robbery. So that people will now start saying, that they should have less SARS for us too. Just like what happens in some of these communities, if you have a security outfit, if you say that we don't see any need for these security men, that we keep paying security levy on a monthly basis, whereas nothing is happening here again. The moment you stop paying those men, they'll start stealing people's car battery. Petty steps will start taking place. And I say, we now have the need for these people again, we now start paying them. So, if there's any increase in crime in recent time, police should also be a primary suspect as well.
All right. Now, yes. There's this belief that the lack of welfare for these men of the police force, both in the SARS units, the tactical squad unit, is actually the reason why they get into these heinous crimes. Now, the issue of their welfare, we've been having this conversation over and over again. Would it solve anything at all when their welfare is being put into consideration?
The issue is that, of course, it's an axiomatic fact that the welfare of an average police officer is not admirable. Likewise, every Nigerian worker. In fact, most policemen in this country, they are placed in an advantageous financial position above many other civil servants and many Nigerian citizens. Why? Apart from their basic salary, every evening, go along Agbani Road and Major Enugu Street, you will see them collecting 50-50 naira by fire by force. Compulsorily from the
Kenyans. No, but if your salary was much, they wouldn't even have to stand on the street.
No, the truth, let me start from this premise again. It would be uncharitable for me to stay at this point and say that their welfare is in order. But not only Nigerian police, Nigerian medical doctors, even Nigerian lawyers, because it is when the economy is in a good state that lawyers are making good profits. Because when people are well-to-do, that's when they'll be willing to go to court to make trouble. If I'm a poor man now, if you slap me, I will allow God to judge that issue, or I will take it to the minister of my church pastor, that to adjudicate. But if I have money and you slap me, I'll go and pay a lawyer, we'll go to court. Now, many Nigerians, not only policemen, their pay packages are not admirable.
Yeah.
So it's not an excuse, but apart from that, let's also be realistic. What I mean being realistic, let me now come from this perspective. Of course, it's a crime to extort money from innocent motorists. It's a crime, you know, to indulge in corrupt practices. But assuming that some police officers, maybe the average policeman indulges in this issue of extortion of 50-50 naira, normally in quotes, customer, the user has acquired the status of custom because of the poor package, poor welfare package. Now, that of SARS and federal SARS and even some senior police officers is a different ball game, because this one now amounts to greed. In the first instance, you may tell me the quest for survival, that the basic money being given to me may not be enough for me. But if you go through, the activities of SARS, this disband SARS, you find out that most of these people were inherently greedy. Moving about with POS, if you get no amount of money they collect from suspects, crime suspects, even the innocent ones, you will no longer review that one as those who are trying to, make ends meet because of their poor enumeration. It was a case of business. I even learned that some of them even lobby to be enlisted in the SARS outfit. They took that outfit as a business enterprise. And it is very, very peculiar in the southern part of the country. That's why the NSAS protest is not a very, very formidable in the north. Because the southern part of the country, especially Igbo land, is seen as a lucrative business arena. And that's why it is on record that most police officers even lobby to be posted to the southeast geopolitical zone, especially in states like Anambra State, particularly with Greater Onitsha and Aba, because they believe that these are commercial nerve centers. And going by the lifestyle of an average Igbo man, an average Igbo man is willing to give her money in order to have his or her time, not to be wasted. That's why they normally fight to be posted to this place. These are blunt truths. So it's not about poor, I mean, all of us in this country, almost all of us. In fact, myself now, I know how many law books I've written as a person. So if things are moving very well in Nigeria, I should be richer than I am at the moment.
But if it's about the greed, don't they have series of codes and conduct that guides them? And why aren't there disciplinary measures for these officers and
that
men
of
the That
is why I'm putting it back
force.
To them. They are to blame. Because in the police hierarchy, at times you go to police station, you want to make a statement, and they tell you to go and buy a bairro. They tell you to go and buy. It's not my idea. Some of the police officers who are maybe a little bit polite, you tell you that our guy did not make provision for all these things. You now ask yourself, budgetary provisions were made for such and so facilities. So where when the monies matter for these people? They've been diverted. So will you now vent your anger on innocent citizens? You should complain. You should complain to your boss. You have a boss. You have police hierarchy. So the citizens who are the taxpayers, the citizens who you are meant to protect should not bear the brunt of your frustration. Most importantly, nobody forced you to become a police officer. Nobody. Nobody forced me to become a lawyer. As I am a lawyer, I will go with the rights, responsibilities, liabilities, and disadvantages associated with law practice. So, ideally, if you want to join the police, you should know everything associated, even the liabilities associated with work. Nobody forced anybody to be. Most of us in this country, we are not happy. Even doctors. If you check Nigerian doctors, agreed. Honestly, I don't love the way most of them go on strike every now and then. But if you check the pay package of an average Nigerian doctor, if you check the manner in which they are being treated, vis-a-vis what obtains in other parts of the world, you find that they are not well treated here. So that's not the reason policemen will now be venting their frustration on innocent citizens. It's not done anywhere.
All right, let's try.
They should hold their leaders accountable, and then they got the powers that be. Because as a president or as a governor, it is your duty. Even the governors don't have much control over police, going by the provisions of our law. But with regard to where they have control, it is your duty to say, Inspector General of Police, what is happening? Any money budgeted for these people, any day I hear any story that this money is not being used for, that day you lose your work. And when you find out that Mr. President is very, very serious, and in fact, this was a Buhari, I think, we had in 1983. When you find out that he's actually in for a very serious business, you be careful. You also pass the information across the various commissioners that any day I hear this funny story about the facilities meant for these people not being available, I will discipline you seriously. The commissioner of police, you also pass information across to the various DPOs. Just like I keep saying it, I believe this money they collect, this will collect along our roads. It's like there are some top police officers who are benefiting, because I believe if a commissioner of police is against this extortion going on in Igbo land, it will still be going on because you will not be everywhere, but by the time you catch 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 police officers on an intermittent basis, by the time you pay unscheduled visits to various roadblocks, by the time you disguise yourself as a commissioner of police and pick 1 or 2 or 3 of them, others will be scared, others will sit up. But I believe, I may be wrong, but I believe from what I have heard that But when the boys collect their own, they submit to the DPO. DPO, you know, we submit to the Oga in charge of the state. Oga, we also maybe submit the Oga at the top. And that is why the thing is going on.
Now, it seems that from what has been playing out, it seems an average police officer actually sees an average Nigerian citizen as an enemy. And a lot of persons believe ending SARS is just like 5% of the problems being solved. Now, what if we decide to change the subject? What if we decide to go ahead and protest for their welfare? Go ahead and suggest a protest for police payment increase, for their social well-being, for access to free education for their children, for good living conditions at their quarters. Do you think this will go a long way in fighting against this police brutality?
In addressing this issue, honestly, I won't even clamor for police welfare at this juncture. To be honest,
why don't you?
There's no need for that now. What you should clamor in for is a good state. And even at times, I laugh when I hear the government saying that you want to employ more policemen. You don't need to employ more policemen in Nigeria. We are employing more policemen when the country is not working well. That means you are empowering more people to be killing people. If you want to work on this country, if you want to even help policemen, what you have to do, you have to work on the Nigerian economy. When you work on the Nigerian economy, then I can tell you that, I can tell you that many people who even join the police will not join that police. Many people who join the police, they don't love police work.
So you're saying many people join the police as a form of poverty alleviation?
Definitely. They don't have, not that they really have passion for the work. So what we do is this. Instead of enlisting more men in the Nigerian police, go and work on the Nigerian economy. Stop killing our businesses. I'm talking to both the state governors, the local government chairman. Stop killing people's businesses. Once that happens, the entire problem will not be solved. But to a great extent, once the economy starts functioning, some crimes, like for instance, part of the allegation leveled against these bouncers was that they are fond of harassing people seen with laptops. Based on the suspicion that they indulge in internet fraud. I can tell you, it takes some level of intelligence for someone to embark on internet fraud, which is a very bad practice. But I am not trying to make excuses for those who indulge in internet fraud. But the point is this. If we have a functional state, a state that cares for the youth, in sincerity, I can tell you that some of these young men who indulge in criminal activities, some of them may have been tempted to channel their wealth of knowledge in making this land great, in developing scientific and technological innovations. And once that happens, you won't bother searching for anybody's laptop because they are doing meaningful things, they are embarking on a meaningful line of action. Definitely, in every society, even in America, you must still have those who we always love to indulge in armed robbery. In fact, in such instances, he doesn't even have to do with the person's financial status because there are some rich people that are well to do. Still, because of their inherent nature, because of their atavistic nature, they always love to indulge in armed robbery. But apart from that, when you work on the economy of a country, how many industries do we have in Nigeria? Or in Enugu, let's leave Nigeria alone, in Enugu state. Since 1999 to date, how many functional industries have the various governments that govern the state established? Functional industries, not fictitious industries. What are the tax policies? Is there a station whereby you set up a little business outfit, before you know it, it is killed with multiple rates and taxes, and even the high cost of EDC people, then, before you know it, the business crumbles. You are frustrated. Automatically, because some of us, I keep saying it, it is difficult for morality to thrive amidst poverty. Some of us are a little bit privileged, just of our background, a little bit. But I know the way some people feel. I have stayed in the midst of poor people. What I mean, poor people who are hardworking, because there are some poor people who are inherently lazy. I'm not talking about those ones. You see young men and women who are fighting to make ends, but the system is frustrating them. And you're talking about, for us to reform the police, let us reform the country. Reform the economy, mainly the economy of this country.
Do you think the Nigerian police force can be reformed? Judging from the release of the passage of the new police bill.
It can, but let me give us one or two aspects on how to a great extent to reform the Nigerian police. One, what I just said about the economy. Then secondly, there is an impediment. There is a law that makes it difficult to hold policemen accountable for their misdeeds.
Why is that happening?
That law is called the Sheriffs and Civil Process Act. I think section 84 of that law is the fact that before you enforce judgment against any public officer or against any state agency of the state, that you must seek and obtain the consent of the Attorney General of the Federation or the state, as the case may be. That's why at times when you get judgment in the court of law against a police officer, for violating your fundamental rights. You find it difficult to, you find it difficult to enforce that judgment, because for you to do that, you must first of all seek and obtain the consent of the Attorney General. And unfortunately, this particular provision of the law has even been given judicial nod in the case of Onjewu against, I think, Attorney General of Kogi State. And that's why many policemen, they know that even if you go to court and you win them, that winning them is one thing, then enforcing that judgment is another. Because, you know, if you want to levy execution against a private individual, it becomes easier. You can use a police officer to do that. But when it's now your turn to go after a policeman who is a public officer, public officer for violating your right, it is as good as practically impossible for you. The only means through which can, the only effective means through which you can do that is not to resort to enforcement of judgment through in the monetary judgment through some other means like Ganishi. And for you to do that, you must seek and so let the members of the National Assembly, and it now behoves on our people to consider the type of people they elect to represent. Because I am honest, there are some laws in this country. When I look at those laws, I wonder why is it difficult for this law to be amended, or these laws to be amended? I find it difficult to understand, and I know because of selfish interest. Some people have interest in those laws. That's why they leave them that way. In other words, this is the first means through which you can reform the Nigerian police. Once an average policeman is sure that if he carries out any nefarious deed, that he will be held responsible for his actions, and at least that his money will be seized, his accounts will be garnished, then to a great extent, he will become careful with his activities.
Wow. All right. If you take a look at the president's address yesterday, do you see a strong political will to change the status quo?
Anyway, not only Mr. President, most of our leaders. That's why in life, personally, I believe in action. It's also good to talk, just like we are talking now. It's very beautiful when one, you know, in Yibo, what you call it, you say something and you also do it. It's also excellent where you don't even say something and do it. What you want is action. I think in 2018, this SARS issue also came up. Before they were answering SARS, before it was, the nomenclature was now changed to federal SARS. So we need a concrete line of action. With due respect to Mr. President, I think what we need is action, concrete action, that these people who committed these acts, they should be brought to book. In fact, when I mean concrete action, henceforth, not even later, because before you know it, the way things go in this country, before you know it, this issue may just be given a decent barrier. Just like some weeks back, we are talking about the NNPC probe and those who are telling others to off the mic, even the Northeast Development Commission. After a while, after about 2 or 3 weeks, after that didn't happen, that one was given a decent barrier. So we are talking about human lives. You know, we are talking about human lives, people being harassed. I've said it here before, going by the provisions of the law, a policeman has the right to stop and search a citizen. But there's a particular word that normally appears in that law, reasonable. And when we're talking about reasonable application of maybe some code of conduct, first of all, if you stop a man or a woman and you want to search him, you respect him, because every human being has that inherent right to the dignity of the human person. Yes, gentlemen, of course, most of us, we do greet police officer, good day, yes, good day. Sorry, can I see this back? In a very polite manner. Except when a person now wants to start insulting his or herself. If you have reasonable suspicion that maybe, you open your bag. But this scenario whereby, hey, calm down. You know, go to some other countries and see the way things, unfortunately, even from our airport. Some years back, I applied through Murtala Mohammed International Airport. I visited a particular country. In that particular country where I visited, their policemen, that country doesn't happen to be a very wonderful country, but their policemen in the airport, they are very, very polite, courteous, smiling with their sword, you know. And they pretend that they package themselves very well. They behave well. Nobody collect anybody from anybody there. Immediately I arrived in Ikeja, come and see kiosks everywhere in the airport. Inside the airport premises, kiosks everywhere. Hey, officer! Hey, anything for the boys? Hey, park! Hey. Just everywhere was very, very rowdy. No decency, no decorum. You know? No decency, no decorum. What am I trying to say? That this is an establishment. They come in contact with people every now and then. And even personally, I've been a victim of rights violation on several occasions, even as a teenager. So when I say some of these things, I know at least when I was first arrested as a teenager, I didn't do anything. As a teenager, I was very lanky then. A policeman, that matter, I even went to court. Saw me, hey, stop there. Very close to my place. as a teenager. He searched me. Nothing was found. They still took me to the station and collected money. And after, I wonder why they are not rich after collecting the money they stole from people. It happens every now and then. Many people are victims. So, but a reasonable man, and the truth is this, I believe, if a police man wants to do his work well, in a professional manner, they know. But no, this is all about intimidation, trying to intimidate the Nigerian people. If you have reasonable suspicion that someone, maybe, is a criminal, that's the way you go about it. Why is he exercising your right as a policeman? You go about it in a way that atmosphere, where the environment. In fact, a seasoned policeman, if he looks at you, you know whether you are criminal-minded. You know whether you have indulged in any criminal act. No matter how gentle you may look, if a seasoned policeman looks at you, that's the way he will sense that this will are up to something. Yes, let me know, size and so vehicle. And likewise, no matter how wrong, there are those who have very mean, very brutal-looking men. But they are innocent. When I was in school, there was one young man, if you take a look at his face, you believe that he's the worst human being on earth. But he happens to be a very simple fellow. But when you take a look at his very mean-looking and brutal face, you think that this guy is a very bad guy. No!
Now, even with this, their brutality and hatred and rage and anger, do you think once in a while they need some form of rehabilitation? Do you think it's going to quell the brutality we normally experience in the hands of the Nigerian police force as a form of transformation and reform?
To be frank with you, they don't need any rehabilitation. It's just like calling policemen or soldiers, Nigerian soldiers or policemen, to give them lecture on human rights. We've seen all these things. They will tell you, hey, Oga lawyer, this is your human rights topic. They will sit down and listen to you when you are done with your human rights. Just like if you've taken part in a court, military court martial before, the military men will tell you, Oga lawyer, welcome, we'll have your seat. You have your seat, they do their own things, their own. What am I trying to say? The truth is this. I have observed Nigeria critically. In all sincerity, I and many people have not given up on this country. But this policy issue is just an offshoot of the problem with Nigeria has a fundamental problem.
So don't you think it's a therapeutic problem? There are issues as well.
You know, why this policy issue is very fundamental is because they bear arms. And before you know it, every now and then people lose lives. But if you look critically, what these people did and what their colleagues are doing, many of us are guilty. You, a civil servant that will not do your work until you are mobilized, your normal work. You are as guilty as the SAS man. That is the reality. You will not bring out that man's file until money. Once you see 500 naira, that file will appear from nowhere. You are as guilty as the SAS man. So, there is problem. But my happiness is this. I have gone through the history of many nations of the world. And that's what I tell some people who still have little hope in this country. Because even personally, when I go through certain things that happen in this country, at times I tend to exhibit some feeling of despair. But even this America, just like today, we are yet to know the person who killed John Kennedy of America. Some say that Fidel Castro's hand was there. Some even accuse his vice, Lyndon Baines Johnson. But the point is that even America was once a very, which adjective would I use now? A very difficult country. A very troublesome nation. Even in the United States, some people came up and made that country great. What am I trying to say? One, it's good we are talking. But beyond talking, we should also start taking concrete action. Just like what's going on, you know, not everybody must participate in the SARS protest. Very, very wonderful exercise. In our own little endeavor, just like as I promised by God's grace, very soon APA will start clamoring for electronic voting in Enugu State at local government level. So let us leave electronic voting at federal.
All right.
So these are anything you know you will do in your own little corner. Because all these things boils down to governance. Governance. And I believe that is why APC came to power. Even though, unfortunately, I am entitled to my opinion, APC disappointed, in my opinion, a vast majority of Nigerians. But Nigerians voted APC into power at the federal level because we wanted something different. Most right. Nigerians wanted something different. But the hopes of many Nigerians were also dashed. But we continue trying. It's a process. You try this. If it doesn't work, you try another one. So it's all about leadership. If you have a leader who, just like a former President Obasanjo, when he came on board, today we are happy. All of us are making use of GSM. They even compared me to buy this Android phone. Before, I don't use Android phone. Now, some years back, it was only for the rich. You make use of your, what was it called again?
All right, we're going to go on a quick break.
Board and liberalize it. What am I trying to say? If you have a leader or if you have leaders who are sincerely interested in addressing some of these issues to a great extent, at least you can now sit back and ask some fundamental questions about Nigeria and address many things, inclusive of the Nigerian police force. You can now say, okay, what is the recruitment process in this force?
We're going to go on a short break. Sorry to hold you there. We're going to go on a short break for the news. When we get back, we are also going to connect live. We're going to be having a live broadcast of the hashtag NSAS peaceful process going on in Enugu State here. We are going to be connecting with Richie. He's right there. We'll get to know what is happening, how it's going down at the NSAS hashtag protest going on here in Enugu State. Apparently, they took off from Okpara Square and they're going to head to the government house and, of course, the state CID. Stay with us. The numbers to call later on 08093999945 and 99945945. All right, welcome back to the Urban Parliament on Urban Radio 94.5 FM. We're still speaking the hashtag NSAS protest and, of course, the police reforms. But before we open up the talk lines, we are actually at the venue of the hashtag NSAS protest taking place in Enugu State today. And we've got Richie on ground. Hello, Richie. Good morning.
Hello. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. How is it going down at... first off, what is your location? What's the location of the protest at the moment?
We are the police headquarters right now, and that's the state CID.
Okay.
Yeah, that's where we are. It's a place where we have a lot of youth who have really come out to say exactly what they think about police brutality. They've come out with their different placards, with paintings on the face. And what has been a bit wonderful about this is the police have been very, very calm about it. They've addressed us, the protesters here, and, of course, the other reporters of radio stations and TV stations who are here. They've told us that they are not in for the violence. They appreciate the protest. They appreciate the fact that youths want better for them and also for the rest of the country. So right now, who everyone is waiting for would be the commissioner for police. He has not come here, but his deputy has been able to speak. The first PRO, Daniel Ndukwe, has been able to talk too. But the youths who are here are not comfortable with that. They want their protests and agitations to be addressed by the commissioner of police, who is not yet here at the moment.
Right, but so far it's been peaceful.
It's been peaceful. There hasn't been any case of violence or police brutality today.
All right. Is that the first stop? Is that the first stop on the protest, or that's the last? Because I know that they're supposed to head to the government house, the state CID.
But from what I gather, they would still make it down to the government house, but for now, they had gone through different routes in Enugu. They had stayed a while at Holy Ghost, made sure their protests were heard loud and clear before they marched down to the state CID.
All right. Looking at the turnout of events and the turnout of people, are there signs of possible hijackers of this protest?
Nothing for now. I think those who are here have been very clear about their demand. There's no other political undertone that I've noticed. There's no insignia of maybe a free nation people are asking for. This is specifically about ending police brutality and, of course, the menace caused by subunits of the Nigerian police.
All right. Let's get to speak with a few protesters. Let's get their own view about the ongoing protest.
Let me patch you on to one of them here. His name is Victor, Dr. Victor.
Yeah, hello.
Hello, good morning, Victor. Hello.
Can you still hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Hang on. Use it.
Okay. Hello.
Good morning, Mr. Victor.
Oh, good morning.
It's nice having you on Urban Radio this morning.
Yeah, thanks so much.
Quick question. What exactly are you protesting about?
Oh, too numerous to actually mention. You know, basically, fundamentally, we want to end SARS because of the endless brutality and endless menace they have constituted in the environment. With or without any allegation, you are, in fact, your life doesn't count exactly. You are actually at the point of death once you have any encounter with them. You know, there's nothing. In fact, I've had a direct experience of what they can do, how brutal they can be, because of the fact that you have an iPhone with you. You are already labeled a criminal. You are labeled a Yahoo, a G-boy. Whereas I am a responsible citizen of this country that pays my tax as a medical doctor. However, despite all the explanations I gave to them on the day I had an encounter with them, they still treated me with so much disdain and threatened to even kill me. So that is why we are protesting now. That is why we are out here protesting.
All right. And
we need the unit to be disbanded. We need the unit to end. We need everything SARS to end now.
Now, do you think the pronouncement of the dissolution of SADS is actually the final solution to all the brutality?
Not at all. Not at all. The government at large has been grossly insensitive and way deceitful. So we are actually, every of their moves is suspicious. That's why we are still out here protesting. Until we hear and we see it being played out and that SARS has completely been disbanded, that's when we will accept that this thing is real.
So after the protest, what next? What's the next line of action?
We'll stay here till they attend to us. We stay here till they hear us. We'll stay here till they hear us. Today, tomorrow, next tomorrow, we'll stay here till they hear us.
All right, so you think this is the first step to actualizing good governance in Nigeria?
Yes. Yes. When you push someone to the wall, whatever you get in return is what you take. That's exactly what's happening now.
All
when
right.
you push us to the wall, the youth to the wall, the power actually resides with the youth. So when you push us to the wall, this is exactly what you get. And we've been very peaceful. We've been very peaceful. There has not been any form of menace caused by us, the youth, here. So we've been very peaceful. We just want our voices to be heard. That's all.
Right. All right. From the population of people there, it's just basically the youth, or are there some elderly ones in your midst?
Exactly. We have some elderly ones. You know, some joined us along the way when they saw us protesting. Some were with us from Oberon Square before we got to this place. So, and they are still here with us. So it's not just youth. It cuts across all age groups. Male, female, and all age groups.
All right. Thank you so much, Mr. Victor. Keep up the good work.
Thank you very much.
All right. You're one of the heroes. You're one of the heroes. Hello.
Just hang on. Let's talk to another lady here, Jasmine Onya. She's a social media strategist and, of course, one of those vocal about what's been going on. Just hang on.
Hello.
Hello. Good morning.
Good morning.
You're welcome, Jasmine. It's nice having you on Urban Radio.
Thank you so much.
All right, let's have a brief lowdown of what exactly is happening there at the moment, your own experience.
Right now everyone is here. Basically, the youth, they are running through a lot of emotions, but mostly peaceful ones. People are trying to let their voice be heard. They're trying to let them know how they feel and also project what's really have been going on with them. Because the truth is, this has been happening for so long, but we've never really been out to be very vocal about this. And people are just doing that right now. So it's quite an exciting thing for this to be happening now. This shows that we have a voice. This shows that we have the right to protest. We have the right to be heard. And then this also shows that people need to be held accountable of things that they actually partake in. So if you are a security officer, if you're anyone that's in control of the citizen, you need to now Fino Flavor and Zoro just arrived at the venue and we've been waiting for them and they are here. I'm so excited. Like the crowd is going crazy.
All right, so that's amazing. Another big question is, after this protest today, what next?
After today, the next thing is to make sure that every protestant that has been held captive, that they are released. We are trying to make sure there is a deliberation, independent coverage to make sure that people and the society understand that this thing has been going on for so long, so we need the police to be accountable. And by way, they will have to be accountable to make sure that independent bodies are set up, a panel is set up to look into these things. So we are hoping that from now onwards, the conversation will start.
All right, but
around the next big thing to happen, and something that has to be very strategic.
All right, but do you have faith in the federal government with the way things are playing out?
Hello.
All right, Richie.
I'm sure you could not hear her a lot more, Clara.
All right. I just wanted to ask a quick question. With all that is playing out with the people there, do you think they have faith in the federal government?
Well, that's the reason why they are here. One part of the plea had already been settled. That was the declaration from the IGP and also from the president, but they feel it's not enough. It might not be complete lack of faith, but they want to make sure this thing doesn't rear its ugly head again. And just while we're talking, a Nigerian musician, Flavor, just walked in, and the crowd here has gone a little bit berserk with his arrival.
All right, we're going to let you go and see if you can actually hook us up with one of them to actually get their own views.
Okay, that will be a bit difficult. They are not allowed to talk for now.
Okay.
What I could do is probably just post a video of what the AIG said, or rather the Deputy Commissioner of Police said earlier on.
All right, thank you so much, Richie.
We are not talking to anyone for now, yes.
All right, thank you so much. We'll get back to you in a bit.
All right.
All right. Of course, that is Richard Siegbo Jr. and he's live at the state CID where the hashtag NSAS peaceful protest is taking place here in Enugu State. And from reports, apparently it's been going down well. It's been peaceful and there's been presence of the Nigerian police force to ensure that there is no violence. All right. So the talk lines are open 0809-399-945 and 0809-945-945. Let us know your thoughts about the conversation we have been having. If you want a transformation in the Nigerian police, what are the things that you want looking forward? Welcome back to the Urban Parliament and Urban Radio 94.5. It's 5 minutes gone past 10 o'clock. Let's get in your calls. You can also reach out to us on social media and keep us updated as well in the hashtag NSAS peaceful protest if you are at the venue of the protest. Let's also get a first-hand information from you as well. Hello, good morning.
Good morning.
What's your name and location? You're welcome. Please be a lot audible.
Wow. Are you hearing me?
Yes, go ahead. We're listening.
Carry all these people go to San Diego and beg. They can do better work there. Let them carry all of them in this taxi state of Nigeria to go to San Diego. Make I see Ugu is Boko Haram. That is the solution. That will be, let them use it and settle them.
All right.
Thank God for the youth. Thank God for the youth. Level have fed us. Now, youth have shown that we need a voice. We have a voice. Youth are working on it. Yes, and let us demand more. Because these people still stand on the road, collecting 15 naira without any shame, even change. Without any shame. So, if Nigeria police, good today, Nigeria will go to a better place. So,
all right, thank you so much for your thoughts. Good morning. Hello? All right, do we also call back? 0809-399-945 and 999-945-945. Morning.
Good morning.
Your name and location?
My name is Kelly Abba, calling from Cross River.
You're welcome, Kelly. Please be a lot audible.
Okay, I appreciate the youth who are protesting in Enugu. I think more able to be great. But I have a question to ask. I think there's something the youth are misplacing, and that is the top priority. I was appreciating one of your guests who came to the studio yesterday. I think we should have the aim of what we are protesting. A normal Nigerian person is aggressive, is angry, he has ethnicity coloration. So this issue of any size is not different from a normal society in this country. And we should be, this issue of any size, is it democratic? Can the president just wake up one day and say, size was a constitutional something, it's something of the national assembly, and we have representatives. And be mindful of that. We know what is happening in the global society. There is a killing of blacks in America. Who the police white will perceive as if they see a black man having an expensive car. I've never heard America serious and say, let's ban this person of the police or this. Rather, they will say, Black Lives Matter. They will make it look constitutional so that the institution will be amended rather than the individual. These facts we are talking about, yes, the bad one has great menace. But there are some certain good ones. My uncle was kidnapped. I have an uncle, Renan, who came from abroad. He was kidnapped. it not for the help of SARS? Yeah, there are a lot of things we are doing. If we want to end SARS, what about the politicians who are adding this SARS? What about the community? Because SARS cannot just invite them into your house. There are somebody who is invoking this.
And all right.
It's aggressive. I think this youth, they should be mentioned because there's somebody who is leading this process. And that person will regret it because they want to set fire on this country. Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much. Hello. Good morning.
Hello. Good morning.
Good morning. What's your name and location?
My name is Efesu. I'm calling from Enugu.
You're welcome. Go ahead.
Thank you. I just want to lend my support to what is happening. I mean, the beauty of democracy. I mean, that people are given the opportunity to show, express their feelings and how things affect them and how it does. It's okay. Just like yesterday when the argument was as to whether to go on for the strike or not. I'm among those people who protest the move for the strike, for the protest. But having said that, I feel they should be more guided, because it is one thing they started right, you know, according for the end of SARS and more likely for police brutality. But also most of them are killing me and they are staying at home. I think they should also prioritize their demands. They should ask government to end strike that is sitting at home for some time now. These politicians have flown their kids out and they are back in their European based schools and that, and this people, the average one here is down, languishing, doing nothing, no hope, no school. The ministers are talking tough, asking the lecturers to go back to farm and all that. Imagine that. They don't care about us. They don't care about the rest of the world. So this is a good start, and they should branch to include many other things, including all the injustices.
All right.
That is going on the politics.
All right. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for your thoughts. Keep the calls coming. Keep the tweets coming as well. Good morning.
Good morning, Adobe.
Good morning, Emmanuel. You're welcome. Go ahead.
My name is Emmanuel from Achala. Thank you, my barrister, Didi Ogwe, one of the brilliant and one of the dogged and courageous men who have always stood to speak the truth at all times, not minding the odds, including his life. He's ready to sacrifice. I appreciate you. I want to say that Kelly Abba is ignorant, because what he cited there does not exist. You are counting those who are protesting against the SARS, comparing it to what happened in America. SARS has been alleged to have been vandalizing, killing, brutalizing innocent citizens for years. And each time people protest, they say they have disbanded them. And so happened in Uyeli, you saw how a man was shot in the head and somebody is trying to castigate those who are protesting. They don't know what they are talking about. I want to ask a question to my learned brother, Barry Togbe. Please, I have taken a study across the entire north and across the entire south. I've watched all the forces in Nigeria, including the customs, including the navy, including the army, and all forces in Nigeria that are in the hands of the federal government. I've not seen any story of the brutality, of the killing, of the dehumanization of the southerners. Yeah, how it has happened in the north. I have such a story. Do you think, my brother, that all the forces in Nigeria in administration has been weaponized against the south? The money for my child out. Thank you.
All right. On Twitter, from Chinyere Tina, it says, my son was molested by SARS for no offense. They dragged him to an ATM machine and extorted the only 5,000 he had in his account. This is so sad. This country as a whole needs total overhaul. And from Advin Martins, a report from the ongoing end SARS protest in Enugu. Everything is moving fine. Thanks to the Nigerian police force, we are moving. Enugu youth are responsible. Enugu youth are peaceful. The best protest so far. All right, let's get in more calls. 0809-399-945. Good morning.
Good morning, Adobe.
Good morning, Mr. Bennett. You're welcome.
My name is Bernard from Transekun.
Go ahead.
Adobe, my take on this very discussion is that, just like previous caller said, we are just at the middle of the ocean, looking for how to be rescued. You ban SARS or you disband them. Some people who sees SARS the major criminals are very, very happy. We are, if the system is okay, at least 80% or 70% okay. I wouldn't be bothered. But insecurity in Nigeria is so high that to travel from here to see the obvious place, a reasonable Nigerian will be afraid. Just from here to where he comes from, just Enugu North or Enugu South here. We will be afraid because this is, the insecurity is too much. And there is a crack force known as SAS for their past record. They are the people that are very good in tracking down this high-profile criminal. Check out. I can mention their names to you if you have been conversant with the news in the radio and the newspaper. So, some that they are banning them, good. But my suggestion, my take would have been, fish out those bad eggs there. Fish them out. Remove them. Remove them. Then let them and warn them, caution them. That is the area we will be going. Not right. It's just a question of banning them totally. There, right. This security is too high, especially all over Nigeria. This our side, a high profile kidnapping and all the rest of them. Right. I'm going on.
Okay, keep the calls coming. Good morning.
Yes, hello, good morning.
Good morning. You know my location.
Yeah, this is Emeka calling in from Enugu.
You're welcome, Emeka. Go ahead with your thoughts.
Yes, I am not participating in the NSAS process because I believe in reformation of SAS rather than ending SAS. I believe that the bad eggs are the ones who are actually painting the good ones kind of wrong or bad, because if anyone had been in Enugu in 1999 to 2007, prior to the coming of SARS in its entirety, the person would definitely appreciate their effort. They did not just end armed robbery, they also end the menace of court using before the coming of the anti-court. So I think I still appreciate and show gratitude to their little effort. It's not a very huge one upon which they have shown them thoughts. I do not crave to the or join in indulgence with the people who called for the end of SARS. Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much for your thoughts. Hello. Good morning. Hello. Good morning.
Good morning, Adobe.
Good morning. You know my location.
My name is Ezek. I'm calling from WTC Gate.
You're welcome. Go ahead.
So, talking about this ending of SARS issue is a very welcome address to all Nigerians, because these SARS people have become something else in Nigeria. We are in Enugu here. When you go to the Enugu base SAS, you see the type of costly car they are riding. And you imagine how much they have been paying every day to ride such a car. If you want to go and bail somebody at SAS at Enugu here, you'll be counting about 80 or 100,000 naira. But yet police are telling us bailing is free. So please, everybody should put all our hand in debt to flush all this rubbish sack in Nigeria.
All right, thank you so much. Hello, good morning.
Good morning, Adobe.
Good morning, Mr. Aga. Please turn down the volume.
My name is Aga, I'm calling from Africa.
You're welcome, Aga. Go ahead.
Please permit me to align myself with Bernard from Sekulu. If you ban SAS, what have you achieved? Have you also banned the policeman who takes bribe at the counter before he gives bail? Have you also banned the one who takes 50 naira from students who are climbing Okada to their hostels? Have you also banned the man who is even at the head of police who knew that his men takes bribe from the roads and takes and escort Okada and keke people? Have you banned him? What we should be talking about is how do we reform? Absolute reform is what we need for the police. Because every one of us in Nigeria knew that there is no system about the police that is working. The bad ones will continue to corrupt the good ones. Why? Because the police commissioner, the AIGs, and whatever they call themselves, knew that the men under them are doing all these things, but they have never meted out any punishment for them. That is exactly why SARS will continue to operate the way they were operating. If the laws are to be obeyed, the SARS must learn that, yes, citizens' rights need not to be infringed upon.
the commissioner of police in the state will know that citizens' rights needs to be infringed, not to be infringed upon. The AIGs and the IG himself will know. That is the reason why IG will ban SARS in 2017, ban SARS in 2018, ban in 2019, and also ban in 2020. And still, SARS was still carrying out the operations. Let them go ahead and reform the police force. Not to ban this and ban that. That's my take. My name is Agako from Africa.
Thank you so much, Mr. Gaff, for your thoughts. It's 90 minutes gone past 10 o'clock. Let's get some more calls before we get back to our guest. Good morning.
Good morning,
what's your name and location?
My name is Chris Anima, I call from Enugu.
You're welcome, Chris. Go ahead.
Yes. Banning of SARS, let me say, what measure did we put in place before banning SARS? How far is our highway in terms of criminals, robbery attacks and all that? We are banning SARS, it's okay. I'm also in support. But before you ban SARS, what have you put in place before banning SARS? Or are you now exposing the common man to the criminals on the road? SARS is bad. I agree. Totally, I agree. But SARS, one way or the other, there is something they are doing on the highways which we don't know. So the federal government should also consider that it's not all about banning SARS. I agree totally to ban SARS. But what other measure are you bringing on board to make sure that the motorists are secured, those traveling from Enugu to Lagos, Enugu to Abuja, Enugu to Kaduna, every part of the country? What measure are you putting in place? That is number one. Number two, you have banned SARS, I agree. Where are you taking these men to? Are you putting them back into police force, or is there any other place you're putting them? But whichever one they are trying to do, my suggestion is this. Because of the things SARS has done all this while, they should not put them in any organization that deals on arms. Because once you put them there, they will still continue from where they stopped. They should totally be disengaged from ammunition. That is the only way they can come back to their rightful senses.
All right. All right. Thank you so much, Cruz. Hello. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Your name and location.
Yeah, this is Decent. From Abani, Kano West, only Decent Man in Enugu.
You're welcome, Decency. Go ahead.
Please, banning SARS is a welcome development. And this, let me tell you the truth. On December 1st, 2019, Anticot.
Hello?
On him. So anybody that is saying that banning SARS is not a welcome development, is a welcome development. This fool has done more harm than good, a people of Nigeria. I'm asking the Commissioner of Police of Enugu State, let him ask Anticot where they keep my brother since December 1st, 2019. Up to today, I have touched the whole police station in Enugu State and I asked police DPRO, can the police come all the way from Walisheta Arrest in Enugu without their notice? The answer is no. Up to today, I never said, this guy is the only son of his mother. Up to today, I never set my eyes on him. Is it because of when it happened to another person, people will just take it on this limit. When it happens to them, they will start shouting. They should ban them, or even ban Anticot. All these people, they're not working for their people. They're just using the entire people to make money for their family. If they work your work, if they're not paying you well, then you quit. It's not a force for somebody to be a policeman. You know, all this that's saying about their welfare. If they're not paying you well, you know that this house is not good, and you went and rent it, and now you are shouting.
All right, thanks for your thoughts. Let's get in our last call. Hello, good morning.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning. You know my location.
My name is Awok Abraham Wachinamere.
You're welcome. Go ahead.
Please, I want to align my view with one of the guests in the studio who talked about, banding SARS, not the ultimate. I want to ask, does that mean that the government is not aware that all these have been existing, this menace have been existing for long? Does that also mean that the SACs are the only people committing this? Does it also mean that the AIG is not still aware? They have been aware. It's just that I must submit to you that the corruption began from the center. And I must frank with you. So, talking about Protestants, banding, talking about hashtag and SACs, I think it is not the ultimate. And the ultimate is Because I believe that before SACS was established, there was a defined role that was meant for them to perform. And then if these roles are not being carried out the way they stipulated it, they should redefine their roles for them. Maybe they might have forgotten. They should redefine it for them. And after redefining it, they should also, call them to order so that they can change the attitude and punish anyone who does not want to conform. And then after the whole thing, I think the protest should be, let there be accidental change of all the people, the public servants, police, army, because all of them are falling short in one way or the other. You are talking about SACS. You don't know what is going on in all the first person.
All right.
The way they've been unleashing political, social, economic, and military mayhem on the people. So let it be a serious attitudinal change. Let it be a redefinition of roles.
All right. Thank you so much. That's all we're going to be taking for the calls. Let's quickly get back to Barrister Ogbe in the studio. I would love your reactions and the thoughts of the callers and also the responses for the hashtag NSAS protests going on currently.
Honestly, many things to be addressed within a limited time frame. In the first instance, many people are bothered that banning SARS, that it may give rise, it may give opportunity for some criminal elements in a society to have a field day. My answer to that is this. Before SARS is an outfit of the Nigerian police force. The Nigerian police is there. And I am respectfully calling on Mr. President to be more decisive and forceful this time, in the sense that in any state where there is increase in violent crimes, without the police responding appropriately, all those in charge should be severely punished. Why am I trying to say this? It's not only SARS men that bear arms in case of violent crimes. We also have mobile policemen. We have other police officers. They are with guns there. And before SARS, these people they've always been there. And SARS are also policemen. And I know I've seen many able-bodied, virile-looking policemen who are not members of the SARS or F-SARS, whichever way. So, if, because as I said earlier, there's this little fear that they may not want to, say, okay, you don't want us, let us not. Any state where they are not up and doing, if anything funny happens, by the time you punish those responsible, those, then others will sit up. Then, secondly, even in Nigeria, is like we normally like reacting to force or action, so to speak. Now, some people are saying that the best thing is to reform SARS and not to ban SARS. But as we already pointed out here, over the years, series of actions have been taken by the police for the purpose of checkmating the activities of SARS. Yet, no positive outcome came out of it. In fact, maybe you also believe that SARS has been banned severally. Yet, nothing has come out of it. And it seems to give little justification to what is going on now, that it's not only about banning SARS, but concrete line of action should be taken to bring those to book, to punish those who may have embarked on fundamentally illegal activities. Somebody talked about reforming them. You don't reform people. You don't reform those that wasted the lives of innocent citizens. We have laws. This is not a banana republic, even though some are trying to make it look as if it's a banana republic. SARS, the law is that if someone is caught in the act of armed robbery, but not red-handed, you don't execute the person. You tell the person before a court of law. If the person is found guilty, the person is punished appropriately. But we've had instances whereby hundreds of thousands of Nigerians who are even innocent, who have not even done anything, have been manhandled. And respectfully, I'll bet you that most of those who are of the view that SARS should be left behind, they are those who have not yet fallen victim before of SARS brutality. Until you experience SARS brutality, until you, maybe you are sure you are innocent, you're not a criminal, and you find yourself being embarrassed by SARS. Until the day someone, just like the one that happened in Amechi some months back, a man was having problems with his wife, and the wife happens to be related to a highly placed individual in this state. The wife went and reported the husband to SARS, and claimed that the husband brought armed robbers to his own compound. I'm telling you, I know those, and I know this happened, so until such a thing has happened to you before, and now tell me the reason why SARS should not be disbanded. When they go about it, many of them, because the point is this, assuming few SARS officials are complicit in this issue, that's where we will now say maybe reform SARS, but most of them, these are even lawyers. You arrest a criminal suspect, you will not allow him to have access to his lawyers, even if in your presence, maybe you want to listen to what I say. They don't allow lawyers come near there. In this country, and people like, in fact, it's not only about banning SARS. I'm calling on Mr. President. And I'm calling on the international community, whoever may have access to them. Let them fish out all those who worked in SARS, who are notorious. I don't want to mention them. I know some names there, some notorious names in SARS. Even on the course of SARS, they should investigate what happened in the course of SARS. All those who are behind unlawful killing, what they call traveling. Traveling people. You will kill people at night without facing trial. And people are here saying that they shouldn't disband us. We have other policemen. They have guns. They should face armed robbers. And again, Emmanuel asked the question of Machale out. The point is that after the Civil War, going by history, the Southeast became militarized. And moreover, the southern part of the country, if you take a look at our way of life, economically we are doing well. The facts are there, because if you take a look, our brothers from the north, economically, most northerners are not well to live in. And the lifestyle of an average, we seem to be vulnerable. And I'm calling on the governors of the Southeast region, and even southern Nigeria mainly. It is time for them to become courageous. When I mean courageous, take a look at what is going on in Enugu State, for instance. In all sincerity, I know the powers of a governor vis-a-vis the police. A governor cannot stop policemen from mounting roadblock because they take instruction from the IG of police. But a governor can checkmate this issue of exorbitant extortion going on in our land. If you want to do it as a governor, you can do it very, very well. Because our land is like our people are vulnerable, our people are not being protected. And interestingly, again, I would like to tell Emmanuel and many people that surprisingly, most of these SARS officials that wasted the lives of innocent people, they're also from here. That's the irony of the whole thing. Most of these SARS men, many of them, they're Igbo people, killing fellow Igbo brothers. Now, and finally, on the final note, I would like to plead with everybody, those who are having concern about if you ban SARS, that they have increased in violent crimes, to an extent, good, but I would like to advise you, go ahead and read the course entitled Criminology. When you read Criminology, you understand the factors responsible for increase in crime in the society. And I can bet you, if you like, bring SARS times 10. If you don't address the fundamental challenges facing this country, if our leaders fail to work on our industries, if our leaders fail to work on the economy of this nation, hey, more trouble is coming in this country, because time shall come from the way things are going in this country, except our leaders face the reality, except our leaders become sincere with governance, except our leaders address the yearnings and aspirations of these people, of the young men and women of Nigeria, of the 2 million unemployed youths of this land, more trouble is coming in this country. That time shall come, except something is done urgently, that if you lie, bring SARS times 10, you will not be unable to checkmate the rising rates of insecurity in this nation. Work on the economy of this country. Address unemployment. Create employment opportunities. Work on the economy of this country. Then, after you must have done that, to a great extent, we now face squarely those who derive joy in committing crime, because there are those who are inherently atavistic. They love committing crime. We face those ones. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you so much, Barrister Sidi Ogbe. He's an Enugu-based legal practitioner and chairman of the APA party here in Enugu State. Thank you so much. Are you going to lend your voice to the hashtag NSAS protest?
No, definitely. We are on it.
Okay. Definitely. All right. Thank you so much. And that's the size of the package right here on the Urban Parliament. The Parliament is back tomorrow at exactly 9 o'clock. My name is Adobe Iluzwe. Stay with us for the rest of the Urban Radio programming. Good morning.
Hey, guys, this is Bruno Mars.